All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to another All About Nothing podcast. I want to thank you for joining us this week. My name is Barrett. I'm your host. We're going to talk about the Trump tweets of the week. There's multiple. Also going to tell you some stories about my past and things that make me me, in particular. And it's easier this week because, of course, the president went before the Boy Scouts of America and had a really odd conversation with them. Super weird. So we'll get into some of that here in just a little bit. Probably tell you some stories about my Boy Scout time. Or at least one of the stories. There's a lot of stories from Boy Scouts. Lots of fun in Boy Scouts, and I'll get into some of that. This is actually the third time that I've tried to record the show tonight. Got interrupted by a phone call a little bit ago and apparently recorded the whole phone call. That would have been weird. Not weird. Just, you know, you'd only hear one side of it, and to hear one side of it is pretty much just me going, uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I get it. Seems like how a lot of my phone calls go. Not all of them, just a few of them. So we'll get started this week with the Trump tweet of the week. Again, it's the tweets of the week. But this president, I really find it hard to understand where he's coming from. One of the things you have to remember is that President Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States, it was not that long ago that he was a loyal Democrat, that he was a Democrat through and through, that he donated to the Clinton campaign, that he was friends with the Clintons, that you know, it you cannot look at him now without remembering that he used to be a Democrat. He was not always a Republican. Because if you forget that, then you're really, really alienating yourself. You're playing into the role that he wants you to believe he is actually in. He's playing a character. He's always been playing a character. I don't think he's ever been authentic. And you know, I am not someone that professionally diagnoses, but I don't think he's authentic. I don't think he is a real human being. I don't know what about him is real, but so except sometimes I do know he is extremely thin-skinned, and I do recognize that when things get to him, he tweets and he tells the world exactly what he's thinking. Are they real? Does he actually believe these things? I don't know. I really don't. So first of all, this morning, he tweeted three tweets, and this is a bit disturbing because I feel like when he does this, he really needs to put a lot more thought into it. He really needs to, because when he does these things, he puts this information out there for everyone in the world to see, and he doesn't quite articulate correctly, or he leaves you hanging. God, when he leaves you hanging, it is just brutal. And that's what he did this morning. He absolutely did this morning. So at 8:55, he tweeted, and I'm just going to read it exactly as it's written. He tweeted, After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow period, 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 period. I read this and I'm thinking, holy shit, we're going to war. I mean, that's exactly what he's about to say. We're going to war. North Korea's got nuclear bombs. They're building ICBMs. And we've got information now that perhaps they have the ability to hit Hawaii or Alaska or you know, interest, Guam, whatever. They can hit one of those targets now, or that they've perfected it to the point where they can hit those targets. So naturally I'm thinking, we're going to war. That's what's got it. That's the only thing that comes after that is that we are going to go to war with North Korea, maybe Iran, maybe we're going to war with Iran. Maybe. Who knows? It took a few minutes before the next tweet came out. Almost 10 minutes. It was 9:04 when he finally tweeted the second tweet of the group, which was, ... transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming, ... So again, I'm going to read them the way that they probably should have come when they should have come very close to each other. So the first one, after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. So just let that sink in, because what he essentially is doing is alienating an entire group of people that want to voluntarily put their lives on the line for the country that they believe in, for the country that now the president of the United States is basically saying, yeah, we get that you might want to serve in the military, but we're not interested. Just stay away. That's essentially what he's saying, is that our military is great as long as you're not in it, is what he's trying to say. And I tweeted out earlier that I have two theories on why he might be the type of individual that might have some sort of axe to grind with transgender people. My first theory, and I get that this is probably going to be absurd, but my first theory is that perhaps when he used to own the, the pageant, Miss Universe pageant, when he owned the Miss Universe pageant, there is a possibility, maybe, again, this is a theory, but maybe he had an individual that made it all the way to the top, and no one discovered that they were transgender, and it embarrassed him. But see, I didn't find anything about that. It's a theory. I'm making it up because I feel like at this point I kind of have an idea of the way that this president thinks. Maybe he was offended at the idea that a man or someone that used to be a man, a transgendered woman, made it through to the finals in the Miss Universe pageant. And he's finally has the platform and the ability to now basically shame an entire group of people, human beings. He is shaming an entire group of human beings. Maybe that's why. That's just a theory. My second theory is a little darker and a little bit more perverse. Donald Trump is a womanizer. Donald Trump has admitted through recordings, through interviews on the Howard Stern show, he has admitted that he absolutely loves women. And he loves them for a specific reason. It has nothing to do with their intelligence. It has nothing to do with their minds or perhaps what value they hold to society. It's purely for sex. And it is purely for his attraction to women, because you have to be a certain type of woman in order to meet his standards. He has proven that over and over again, what it is that he likes and talked about. I mean, he's discussed it at length. You cannot believe that he has any respect for women based on things that he said in the past. And you can tell me over and over that people change, and I'll listen to you, and I believe that individuals have the possibility of saying that they've changed and they can tell you things differently than they might have in the past, but I absolutely do not believe that people have the ability to fundamentally change, and Donald Trump is still the same Democrat that he was years and years ago. I absolutely believe it. So my second theory, at least, is that perhaps this president may have at one time engaged in an intimate situation with someone only to find out that they were transgender, only to find out that they went from being a male to a female, because in their heart and in their mind, well, the way that they were born was not what they felt. And I get that conservatives, Republicans, faith-based people are going to disagree and say that you are the way that God made you and that that is it. That's fine. You can have your opinion. I refuse to believe that just because you feel that way, I have to feel that way. Granted, I'm a guy. I'm a man. I feel like a man. I don't feel like a woman. But I'm not going to knock somebody or tear them down or belittle them because they might feel a certain way or they might believe that their body does not represent how they feel. Because I don't feel like an individual can tell you that you are the way you look or that you're always that way. You know, it feels wrong to belittle someone who honestly believes that they are not they are not represented by what they look like or the genitalia that they have. I feel terrible for these people that have to now that read these tweets that the leader of the free world, well, not really anymore, but the leader of this country, the executive representation of this country, has the ability to basically shun an entire group of people. For what reason? We don't know. I mean, I have theories, but they're not true representations of what's likely. I mean, he may just decided, well, this is what the party thinks, so I'm going to announce something that basically frightens that group of people. You know, because if you're transgender and you're in the military now, does that mean that you're automatically out? Because I know that if you go through with the operations and things like that, there is medical requirements. There is prescriptions, you know, to maintain whatever chemical need you have because you may not be creating it anymore when you go through the operation. And it feels so wrong for the leader of our country, who is supposed to be a unifier, who's supposed to bring people together, has the ability to just tear down an entire group. And I can't say it enough. It is so harmful to them. It is harmful to the foundation of our country. You know, he is basically saying, you know, that in the Constitution, I believe, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Those lines have different meaning, those words have different meaning today. If you truly believe everything that the president says is a representation of how our country feels, you know, President Trump said this, and then John McCain, who was in the military, who was captured and held in a prisoner of war camp in a prison. He was a prisoner of war for this country. He came out and he said that I'm not going to say it exactly the same way he said it, but he said basically that it is, if someone in this country wants to serve voluntarily to support this country, to put their life on the line for this country, that they should be allowed to do it, regardless of whether they're transgender or they're male or female or whatever. I have such a hard time civil rights. I mean, it is, I have a hard time with people that don't recognize that everyone on this planet has an absolute right to exist and be happy. And if a man being a man isn't happy unless he is considered to be a woman, then why can't he have that happiness? I get that if they're in the military, that yes, their medical expenses may be required, but it's no different than someone who develops cancer from a bad vaccine or gets terribly sick because of a vaccine they took that they were allergic to, you know, that's forced to retire. That if, and now that they've retired, they have to still take that medication. and they're being taken care of by the VA. So I don't understand what the difference is. It's our president is intentionally harmful to people, and it is so disturbing that he, as a leader, as what should be a mentor, he is just so harmful to our country. And if President Obama were to say the same things, I would say the exact same thing. If President Obama were to come out and say the exact same things, if he was to be just fundamentally shaming a group of people, I would say the exact same thing. I would have no problem with sitting here and telling you that he was doing a bad job, that he was harming people, that he was creating a situation where we would look at somebody else and think differently of them because of what the president said. I don't know that our president Obama said that or did that. I do know that Donald Trump has done it, and it's out there for all of history now because he tweeted it. And I'd like to know what it was that made him tweet it this morning. I really would like to know what it was that made him tweet out something that is just so harmful. Anyway, that's my opinion, and everyone has their opinion. You're certainly welcome to tell me your opinion. I welcome it. I welcome a discussion. I absolutely do. I don't mind talking about these things. I don't mind hearing people's opinions, as long as they're willing to accept that I have one and that I want to talk about it sometimes. It just seems so harmful. But so we're gonna move on though. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't mind embarrassing myself, but I guess one of the things that I want to do on this podcast is I want to tell stories about things that happened in my past, and I guess this week it's probably a good opportunity to do that because the president did go before the Boy Scouts of America at the National Jamboree, which happens every few years. And sometimes, if it falls in line perfectly, that the president can come out there and he can address the Boy Scouts of America. And usually, it's one of those speeches where he gets up there and he basically says, you know, Boy Scouts is, you know, a great organization to help, make boys into men through activity and learning and social organization that inspires you and makes you do better and it teaches you and things like that. And that's usually what happens when the president goes to a national jamboree and talks in front of the Boy Scouts. That isn't what happened this week, and I don't want to get too much into it, but I'll just say this. It's really weird that our president would go up in front of boys between the ages of 9 and 18 and tell them the story of a man who would break into construction sites, steal nails and other supplies, somehow built up into a corporation that was eventually sold. The guy makes millions selling this company and then buys a yacht, maybe something like that. Buys a yacht and then basically has prostitutes on his yacht. I don't understand the story. I don't get it. I don't know why he told it at the Boy Scout National Jamboree. But anyway, that's not important. Maybe we'll get into that next week. We'll talk about it. But it just seemed ultra weird. But yeah, I was a Boy Scout. I can't for sure tell you exactly how long I was in Boy Scouts, but I was probably age of 9 until 17 or so, almost 18. I made it all the way to Life Scout. I didn't join Boy Scouts because I wanted to become an Eagle Scout. That to me held nothing. It didn't mean that much to me. I wanted to be a Boy Scout because Boy Scouts got to go on camping trips. Boy Scouts got to do high adventure camping trips. I loved the high adventure camping trips. We did everything from Philmont, which is basically you are in New Mexico, and it is a 70 mile or so trek. I did it twice. I did the hike and I also did the cavalcade, which means that I did the same trek but on horseback. And it was awesome. It was such a great time. And I got, you know, I may not have a lot of contact with some of the people that I was in Boy Scouts with, but I remember them and I remember the things that I did with them, and I enjoyed the time that I spent with them, and I miss them, some of them, but it was genuinely a good time. I enjoyed being in Boy Scouts. We also did camped at, let's see, it was up in northern Minnesota. It was a camp, it was a Boy Scout camp called Ookpik. That's like, I have a badge here somewhere, but Ookpik was in February, and it was a high adventure winter camping, which for a lot of people, they're going to hear that and they're going to say, that sounds miserable. I would never want to do that. But it was so much fun. I did miss a couple days of school with it because we had to fly out of Atlanta to Minnesota, or to, Minneapolis. Yeah, I think we flew into Minneapolis, and then we drove to International Falls. And it was cold. And when we were there, they actually were having what they called a heat wave because the temperature was around zero. Normally it's like 30 below. When we did that trip, and I'll talk about others another time, but when we did that trip, one of the things that was just awesome was I had never skied before, but, or cross country skied at least. I had never cross country skied. So part of this trip was we cross country skied several miles into the backcountry, came to a location where we piled snow up on top of itself until it was about a 6 foot high mound, probably about 15 feet across. And then we pounded it down until it was about 4 feet tall. Once we got about 4 feet tall, you stuck a stick in the top of it that was probably about a foot. So you knew basically what you were looking at was you were sticking a stick into it, and then you'd start digging out until you hit the bottom of that stick. And we created a snow shelter that was going to be where we slept for several nights. That's not really the funny part of the story. So when we carried food out there for ourselves, but we also had to catch fish. Now, it had been zero or below for several weeks. The lake that we were right next to was completely frozen over, but they gave us a chisel and they gave us a hammer that we were supposed to use to dig out a hole in the ice so that we could fish. Well, it's not easy, and it takes hours and hours of doing it. And I remember that we were out there, and I helped for a little while. But as we were chiseling, there was a house up on a hill across the lake, and it wasn't that far. We were inside of a cove, and this old woman, she was probably in her 70s, comes down the hill carrying what looked like a chainsaw with about a 3 foot blade, and she comes down the hill. She starts the chainsaw, and then she just cuts out this square. And the whole time, I mean, we've stopped chiseling. We're just watching at this point. She cuts out this hole, and then she takes this rod, and she obviously pushes the block of ice that she just cut down into the water, and she sets up a fishing pole. And within minutes, she's caught a fish, and she's carrying her fish and her chainsaw and her pole just back up to her house. And as Boy Scouts, I can't believe that we didn't think about that. We didn't think, well, we need a chainsaw. We could use a chainsaw. But it's one of those things I think back and I think, yeah, well, now I can afford to buy a chainsaw. So if I could do that camping trip again, I'm definitely taking a chainsaw. I assure you that if that woman is still alive and we are at the same location, she'll be proud to know that she inspired me to use a chainsaw on a frozen lake. I absolutely believe that woman would probably be very proud of herself for inspiring me. Maybe. Who knows? I would hope she would, at least. Thank you again for listening to the All About Nothing podcast. Again, I'm your host. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Barrett Gruber. We'll do this again next week. Sure, we'll have a good time doing it too. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next week.